You're listening to Now You've Seen It, the podcast that endeavors to fill the holes in your essential movie viewing. Here's your host, Gregor Sprague.
Hello and welcome to Now You've Seen It, a very special episode of Now You've Seen It for two reasons. For first, we are talking about Fight Club, and for second, there it is just me and my panelist, who is now also the guest, because by the rules, he hasn't seen the movie. Well, sort of the rules, but anyways, I don't want to confuse you. I should probably say who I am and who he is, and we can talk about the movie. I am Gregor Sprague, and joining me is my the panelist slash guest, Steve. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Gregor. Thank you. I feel honored to be both panelist and guestalist.
Yes, you have two hats that you are wearing right now, so use them wisely. I'm doing it
like the Sherlock Holmes hat. I've got
the deer stalker cap.
That's right.
And also, the movie that we are talking about, I'm going to both say it and use the joke because people are expecting the joke when they know the movie. The first rule of this movie is we do not talk about this movie. So good night, everybody.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, everybody.
No, we are talking about Fight Club. There is the joke. We will try not to do that joke anymore throughout the recording of the podcast. So I'm gonna preface this by saying, like I've sort of said with the other movies, I hadn't seen this. But this is one that I have. But it was a long time ago. Fight Club came out in 99. We're not getting into it. I more want to hit. And we talked about this before, but sort of why this you missed this.
Yeah, because I had not seen it.
Yes.
For the most part, it was a conscious choice on my part, because Fight Club is one of those things. There's movies and TV shows out there that you kind of like, you have to see because everybody else is seeing it and they're talking cool about it on E! Entertainment Television and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to watch my Star Trek and Godzilla movies, and I'm going to be happy with that.
Okay. So, because we sort of hit on this earlier, so I would sort of want to preface this here. It would sort of be like, for example, if they played a trailer for a movie that had a lot of action in it, and you're like, and you were a person who you're like, well, I don't really like action, and then you see the reviews later on, or you watch it later on for a podcast and you go, well, there's only two fight scenes. And, you know, that's from what it sounds like when we talked before, that was sort of what it was.
Well, when watching the movie, it turns out I was surprised at how little it is actually about the Fight Club.
Yeah.
The Fight Club plays a role. It plays a rather large role. It's significant, but it is not what the movie is about.
No. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So to me, it was, I don't want to say it was confusing to me, but it absolutely was not the movie that I was expecting it to be. I kind of expected it to be a little quirky, a little, in my opinion, kind of weird kind of a deal, and not in a derogatory sense, just kind of offbeat. Okay. Like weird camera angles and people saying some weird things sometimes, and Brad Pitt, maybe he hits himself in the head once. I don't know, but just weird. And there was a bit of that, but it wasn't at all what I expected it to be. But again, not in a bad way. I was entertained by it.
Yeah. Again, I could see it. And we're going to talk more about that. But first, we have an ad and properly introduce the movie and a fake trailer. So we will be right back.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios. We remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
And we're back. And so Fight Club is, and I sort of want to double check because I was looking up some stuff for the, you know, from Wikipedia, but I started what we'll be discussing next. But essentially, and if I'm wrong, whatever. It's a it is a 1999 American film directed by David Fincher, stars Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, and Helena Bonham Carter, and a very, very young Jared Leto, where it surprised me as an aside seeing him getting opening bill credits when they're doing the, I think they're in like the Brain or whatever they're in, which was interesting. And this is based off of the book Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk, probably mispronouncing his name, and it had a budget of $63 million and made in the box office $100.9 million. Steve, what was your opinion of the movie?
I enjoyed it.
Should we hit on the trailer part first, like we alluded to in the intro?
Sure.
Pitsy Norton here for a wonderful new product. Do you have stains that just won't come out of your clothes? Meatloaf droppings? Lestrange stains? David Lee grease? Blood? Bone shards? Well, do I have a product for you? Brought to you by Mike from Birdman and his silent partner, the Weatherman from the Jim Jefferies Show. Fight Club soap is the best you can humanly get. Made from perfectly harmless glycerin. Harvested from cruelty-free clinics. Fight Club soap can wipe everything clean. Stains, bad feelings, credit card debt. Brought to you by David Fincher, the soap known as Fight Club can be yours if you can keep your dang insomniac mouth shut.
Okay, so, because this was a rewatch for me and what I've done for all the other movies, I hit up the IMDb trivia page. And the trivia page in there stated that the studio, 20th Century Fox, or Fox 2000 Pictures, wanted a safer trailer when advertising and marketing this movie. Chuck Palahniuk and David Fincher had thought up this really intricate campaign that, from what it sounds like, would have been very close to the movie, with like what they were doing, obviously without the fight clubs and but more on the psychological side of things. And the studio decided, oh no, we will not do that, we are going to do this safer version, which is, I think, with what it sounds like, one of the aversions that you had to watching the movie, was the fact that the trailer you were shown was showing more of the fight club, the fight scenes, when there's not that many.
Aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, keep in mind that it's not like I was sitting there salivating just to watch all the fight scenes in the movie. And I was taken in enough by what actually ended up being the movie that it's not like I was sitting there going, well, where's all the fighting? But it was, you're right. It was marketed as, this is a movie about a bunch of people who get together every once in a while and they have fights and hilarity ensues or something like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that. In fact, I was thinking about this when I was watching the movie. Maybe this was just me, but I'm not even really sure I knew what the movie was about until about 20 minutes into it. And even then, I'm not sure. Think of like The Simpsons. You can watch an episode of The Simpsons. Simpsons are what, like 20 minutes long without commercials?
First about 20, 22 minutes, yeah.
First half of that episode is not what the episode's about. Do you know what I'm saying? Like Homer does something goofy or Bart kicks off his teacher or whatever, and this happens and that happens and that happens. And then, maybe even after the first commercial, then you find out what the episode is about. As he's talking about the narrator, as he's talking about his life and what he's doing and how he's coping and all these kinds of things, I don't know what the movie is going to be about. I don't. Yeah. And that's okay. That's all right. I mean, you don't want to do that the entire movie, but it was different than what I'd seen. It subverted my expectations, but in a way didn't really super bother me.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I believe the tagline for the movie was, you know, the first rule of Fight Club, or it depends on what you're looking at, because I mean, you know, some posters show, you know, Mischief Mayhem Soap as like the poster from the theatrical release poster. But then I had seen here, just going through, that, you know, the first rule of Fight Club being you don't talk about Fight Club, both is a catchy, they chose that, Chuck Palahniuk and the other writers and director chose that, because not only does that talk about the Fight Club, it also talks about the movie afterwards. If you sort of think about it, the closest thing we have is with Avengers Endgame, you know, where they had the big uproar and the hashtag don't spoil the Endgame. There mm-hmm. probably would have been, if this was done now, they probably would have had that. They probably would have had that clever, you know, hashtag first rule, you know, sort of deal going on.
And that would have made sense given, and I will not risk spoiling it, but yes, this is a movie that is almost dependent upon absolutely not knowing what the point is.
I will say this point as a way to cover ourselves from here. We are assuming that if you're listening to this from now on, really from the beginning of the podcast on,
right,
you would have seen Fight Club.
Yes, thank you.
Or you don't care to be spoiled.
Or frankly, when I went into this movie, I knew what the thing was. I knew the deal. And it didn't wreck it for me, but I did watch it with a different angle.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, my opinion, I mean I'm this is heresy, because you know, this is a masterpiece, and you know, and Fincher is a genius and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
it didn't hold up to me. Can we just put it out there, because we just said,
yeah.
I mean, Tyler Durden is the narrator. They're the same person. It's his narrator's inner psyche, his wannabe person, however you want to put it. And knowing that when I started watching the movie that he was not real, I think Fincher and the writers were careful not to have. Well, see, and now I'm thinking back on it, it's like there had to have been parts in that movie. And forgive me, because it's been a little bit since I've seen it, but there have to have been parts in that movie where people interacted with Durden. There have to have been.
There wasn't. And again, I'm going off of, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience and then go into there. Because when I'd first seen it, I was probably 11 or 12 years old. Because I don't.
Demographic.
Yes. Because I was, you know, I don't remember seeing it in theaters. I think I saw it on like TNT or USA Network. And then I think later it was, you know, my mom or someone bought the movie and we watched it on VHS or DVD at that time. So there was, you know, the initial watching, I enjoyed it. I don't remember a lot about that because that was around 20-ish years ago. Then rewatching it, knowing some of the stuff that I had, you know, that I had previously seen, a lot of pop culture stuff, you know, reading the Fight Club Fight Club 2 comic book that I will talk about here a little bit more later. It's interesting at what David Fincher got away with. So with the whole interacting with Tyler Durden thing, I think the only time we ever, I'll put it to you this way, we never see someone interact with both Tyler and the narrator at the same time. So it's sort of, if you look at it in the way, in the finale when, I'm trying to think, what's the Adam Sandler movie where he's like, I'm kicking my ass. I think it's like Happy Gilmore or something. Yeah, it was Happy Gilmore in the beginning, where he's just sitting there beating the crap out of him. And it's the same scene that we're seeing here, but it's, you know, the narrator who's getting beat up by his, you know, his other self, you know, the Tyler Durden self in him, because he has dissociative identity disorder is I think what you'd classify it as now. He's you know, where he's fighting himself. I'm pretty sure you don't see, and you see in the camera where he's being dragged by himself. You know, you don't see,
right.
You just sort of see no one there as he's being dragged across the floor and stuff like that. I don't think you ever see in the movie where both Brad Pitt and Edward Norton are both being interacted with by someone else. Sort of then illustrating the fact that Tyler is a figment of the narrator's imagination. Much like you see earlier on in the movie before we are introduced to Tyler, where you get a one frame flash of, and again, we're talking about traditional film here, not digital, like everything is shot now, of Tyler Durden, where you see him, gosh, I know, very early on.
Yes. Yep.
Like, and then when he meets
first 10 minutes.
Yeah. And then when he meets, when the narrator meets, gosh, I'm blanking on her name, Marla, I think is it, Helena Bonham Carter's character. Yep. You see when she's walking away, you see the flash of Tyler. Interesting thing, and again, going from the notes off of IMDb, which could be false, could be true, who knows, they actually wanted to put in the 20th Century Studios logo, they wanted to put a flash of Brad Pitt in there, but the studio's like, no, we will not have that.
Right.
But no, I mean, it is really interesting to see, you know, with the, especially with the fact that, and it's a great point that you brought up, that it's something that, like, had I not done this for this show, I probably would have been like, yeah, there's plenty of scenes where they both interacted with someone, but
no, you're right, there's not.
Yeah, there's not. It's one or the other.
I can think of one, not to get too nitpicky about it, and I totally agree with your point. And this is me, again, probably overanalyzing it, and I'm not trying to poke holes in it. It just, it's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter are, you know, making noise and stuff. And there's one point, I think, isn't it, where Edward Norton goes and knocks on the door and she opens the door. Or no, he opens the door. Durden does.
Mm-hmm.
And they're interacting with each other. So I mean, I guess that's the two of them. It's not Helena Bonham Carter.
That's the two of them. Yeah. Yeah. And Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah.
So those things where the movie makes it clear that it's Durden that she's hanging out with and not the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning she has that interaction with the narrator, and she's kind of like, in her own way, in this quirky movie, she's kind of like winky and little romantic, you know, kind of, she's like, you know, that was last night. Blah. And I'm thinking, she's talking to him. She's saying that, yeah, to Norton, not about, you know, Brad Pitt. So, you know, I'm the kind of guy that it doesn't take much to take me out of a movie, as much as I am Mr. Suspense, the suspension of disbelief, and you know, I get mad when people complain that something that happened in a Superman movie is too unrealistic, you know, that kind, yeah, of deal, that drives me nuts. And here I am kind of trying to pick apart, well, that didn't make sense, and that didn't make sense. Overall, I really enjoyed the fact too that it kind of went off on this really huge kind of story with the all of the you know, the mischief, that the chaos that the crew was causing, and the vandalism and the just the downright bad things they were doing for whatever reason. I thought that was super interesting. And, but it was so, like, you think to yourself, that would never happen. Well, I guess it could. And they worked out a way for it to happen in this world and in this movie and all that kind of stuff. I did like the fact that it did kind of, it seemed like it went kind of over the top while at the same time being very much a grounded,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and you, I will point out that you did hit on something that as a wrestling fan triggers me, it, not in a bad way. I feel like sometimes you say triggers, it's like, oh no, you know, we got another snowflake, coined in the 1996 book by Chuck Palahniuk. But when people say that wrestling's fake, and it's like, and this is a perfect example here, this movie. It's like, okay, yes, but Fight Club's real? But, you know, insert any other thing, even reality TV, because those are all real. here.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to get that because I was just like, oh, hey, yeah, there's been this whole big debate again. I mean, like, it's a secret. Oh, yeah, we know that the outcomes are predetermined. But I digress. But yeah, it's, I mean, again, this movie, like, I'd be interested in what your take is after now, once you rewatched it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have to do another podcast or make this a Patreon special of now I've seen it again.
That's right. Yeah.
Because like a lot, there are some of the stuff that I didn't pick up on until rewatching it.
Sure.
Right.
I suppose even going into it, knowing what the MacGuffin is of the whole thing, you don't know what to look for, because then they do go back at the end and explain, well, that part with the out in the parking lot, he's actually beating himself up. And I liked how they kind of foreshadow that when he beats himself up in his boss's office.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, this guy clearly can beat himself up. I mean, he's not he, like physically he can do it. He's strong enough, but like, have you ever tried to beat yourself up? I can't do it.
I've tried to hit myself one time. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not looking for you to try, but have you ever tried tickling yourself? I mean, it's that kind of deal. So clearly he
can beat
himself up. So when we get to the explanation that it was him beating himself up, who knows how many different occasions, but at least that first time when they're out there in the parking lot he's beating himself up. You know, that, so it's interesting how they put all that together. I watching it again, I would hope that I would still be able to enjoy the performances, the production, the look of it, without also spending too much time again trying to find the clues, because they do so lay it out for you at the end. I mean, you don't have to. I'm sure it's fun. It's like a scavenger hunt. Okay, they told you all this stuff. Now you get to see it in context. But I so enjoyed. I'm not a huge Brad Pitt fan. I'm not the biggest Edward Norton fan. I am a Helena Bonham Carter fan since, you know, Hamlet. Since she was in the Hamlet movie, she was just amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll watch almost anything she's in. I didn't even know she was in this. So when she showed up, I'm like, hey, that's her. But I anytime I watch it again, I would want to still be able to enjoy it. I don't want to be that movie that I'm putting the puzzle back together again.
But yeah, and so I will add here on this before we do a, you know, the rating and the host choice thing, for people who are interested in more out there in this world, you know, they've seen Fight Club, but what else is there? There are actually two more volumes of the story in comic book form. They are written by Chuck Palahniuk, the author of the book, and I believe he wrote the movie, but the hardcover of Fight Club 3 is actually coming out in April, you know, when we're recording, so it'll be out on April 28th. But they, oh my good Lord, Fight Club 2 is also known as Fight Club 2, The Tranquility Gambit. And this, they sort of play around because, again, it's comic books, so you have to sort of get around the clever ways that they would get around of saying the narrator's name, you know, not saying Edward Norton's character's name,
right,
where they would just say like, hey, or, you know, at the end you got Helena Bonham Carter calling him Tyler. And here he is known as Sebastian, where they, you know, he continues his relationship with Marla. And the interesting part of this is the book is told through the restrained perspective of Tyler Durden.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's real now.
Yeah. Oh, no, it gets better, because there's 10 issues for this one, and if you include the Free Comic Book Day issue, which I didn't realize there was, there's 11, but it's just a recap of the original story for that issue. Yeah, I remember reading this and it's really good. Fight Club 3 is sort of where I fell out, but I think that was more along the lines because of the fact that I read a lot of comic books, and like, to give the perfect example, There is a Napoleon Dynamite comic book out right now through either Boom Studios or Dark Horse Comics. I loved Napoleon Dynamite, the movie. I loved the animated cartoon show that they did, you know, 2-3 years ago that, you know, didn't make it past the first season. I had to give this up because where I enjoyed it, there's just so much stuff to read. And so Fight Club 3 fell into that for me. I will say it is interesting, you know, to rewatch this and to sort of dive into what, you know, like reading the trivia things here on the IMDb page, where Chuck Palahniuk said that where he got the ideas for the splicing in single frames of pornography into family films, attending support groups for the terminally ill, erasing videotapes came from stories told to him by friends and from things his friends actually did. And he also, Palahniuk also interviewed, I'm reading this verbatim from the page, also interviewed numerous young white males in white collar jobs, discovering that the longing for fathers was a theme I had heard a lot. The resentment of lifestyle standards imposed by advertising was another. That's the later part being a quote from Chuck. Some of the other interesting things that I would see here. Courtney Love and Winona Ryder were both initially considered for the role of Marla Singer, the role played by Helena Bonham Carter. And the studio wanted it to go to Reese Witherspoon. Just throwing out some interesting facts I saw here while reading my piece. Yeah, because it's one of those things, like, if you, like, you look at some of the names that are mentioned on here. Courtney Love.
I could see it.
I could see it, but it would change that role from a, okay, yeah, like, Helena Bonham Carter has this where she can play dark, but she can play light.
I had sympathy for her. I don't know if I'd have sympathy for a character played by Courtney.
Exactly. Winona Ryder, at the time, it would be, because this would be, you know, she had done Beetlejuice. She had probably done a couple of, she had done a few other things that I can't think of after that. But the really interesting one is Reese Witherspoon. No.
Not that she couldn't, don't know. Because I'm not aware of any.
At that time, this would have been right around the time of Legally Blonde.
Right.
Like, I think just before Legally Blonde. And it's like, I couldn't see it. Especially for that time, Reese Witherspoon. So basically, from here, I'm going to wait. We are going to do another ad. And we'll be right back. I should add that part there, too.
Need to satisfy a hungry mind? Every week, Your Brain on Facts brings you science. Why does mint feel cold? History. King Charles II of Spain was so inbred, his family didn't bother educating him. Music. Many hit songs and even entire albums were written for revenge. Technology. The first video game was made on an oscilloscope in 1958. And every other topic under the sun. Look for Your Brain on Facts on your favorite podcast app or at yourbrainonfacts.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. And for the host choice here, this is the segment that I get to choose what the segment will be about. I'm not choosing any of the ones that we got here. It's sort of a spin-off of Cast the Remake, because with rewatching this movie, realizing it came out, well, not realizing, but understanding that it came out 11 years ago. You think
21 years ago?
Or, yeah, sorry, 21 years ago. My math is wonderful. It came out 21 years ago. And actually, I'm also just now sort of realizing I probably could have seen this in the theater, but I know, because I would know I was going to movies at this time. But I don't think I did, because I probably only wanted to see Star Wars Episode I. That shows my age.
I would have not wanted to be in the parking lot for probably about 10 years after seeing this in a movie theater.
The crap. So instead of cast a remake, if you have a remake idea in mind, but do you see this movie being made today?
Ooh, actually. Like, it wouldn't end up being the cultural kind of phenomenon that it ended up becoming.
Yeah.
Even though it became that for the wrong reasons, like, you know, when people who have not seen Fight Club, like 2 weeks ago, had not seen it, had a far different view of what it was.
Yeah.
What it turned out to be. The fact that I knew the hook with Tyler Durden helped me a little bit in that, oh, this movie's going to be a little weird, as opposed to, you know, Edward Norton's the nerdy dude and Brad Pitt's the cool dude and they start a fight club. Or he joins Brad Pitt's fight club.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it would be. I think there's enough that still is being made today that is of that, I'll keep using the word weird, kind of that down path. I wonder, though, if it would have ended up being even darker, more graphic, more, you know, more in your face.
Yeah.
Than it ended up being. Like the scene where with Meatloaf, where Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the aftermath and the reveal of him just shocked the crap out of me. Like, believe me, I've seen, you know, movies and so forth that it really wasn't anything I hadn't seen before, but because it was maybe that character or whatever. So my fear is that they would take advantage of the fact that they can do so much more now. There's so much more leeway, I think, in a lot of what people accept. That it could be made, but it wouldn't be as big of a deal, culturally as it was 20 years ago.
I'll also put it to you this way. It's interesting because I feel like with asking this question, we sort of get into a time travel paradox, because on the one hand, because of the movie being made in the time it was made, and I will say this before I go any further. I feel like the movie, for a lot of the parts, speaks, like, with what they're getting at, how men feel, you know, especially in more white collar jobs, you know, with daddy issues, and, or I should say father issues, not daddy issues, because that sounds condescending in my mind. And, you know, not feeling quote unquote like a man. I see some of the background stuff in there still being relevant today. I don't see this movie being made for the fact that, with how you were talking about with, like, some of the shocking scenes, like with Bob's death, and some of the, like, the fight with I think it's Angel Face, Jared Leto's character.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think because that was done at that time, we then have the ability to have it happen now, or what, have other movies go that far now. I could see, honestly, sequels to this, you know, Chuck Palahniuk, you know, I like adapting the stories that he's done in comic book form, doing those as a movie, you know, and talking about other issues, you know, but using these two characters or two other characters as the catalyst for it. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Hollywood decides that they want to do a reboot of Fight Club. And I'm saying reboot because I just watched Jay and Silent Bob reboot. But, you know, doing it again with other people. But if they did, I don't, and Chuck Palahniuk is not involved, I see it being a shy imitation. So the final thing to do before our closing remarks is rate the movie. Steve, you know how this is done. And also, well, I'll save that for afterwards. But what would you rate this movie on, you know, if you had to go see it in the movie theaters, from $0 to $10?
No, I would pay $10. I really would.
Full 10. Full 10,
even
now,
with,
wow.
Yeah, even with you know, the cool, the K-E-W-L coolness factor that that was kind of like that late 90s MTV fading, still trying to be cool kind of mentality that I associated with the movie. Yeah, I would, because again, the performances are amazing. Again, Helena Bonham Carter, I'll watch do anything.
Yeah.
And as much of a fan as I am not of Brad Pitt, his performance was amazing. Edward Norton is always kind of meh, but he's kind of that guy. He kind of does the meh thing, at least in,
yeah.
I know in others, he's maybe a little bit more out there, but yeah, I'd pay $10 to see this. You know, sure. Absolutely. You're buying the popcorn, but I'll pay $10 to go in and see it.
Yeah. And so for me, I would probably put this, personally at, you know, I really enjoyed it. And this is difficult because I don't do this typically as a rating system, but I would probably put it at an 8 or a 9, you know, $8 or $9. It's not the perfect movie, but then again, I don't know what necessarily would be that quote unquote $10 perfect movie. If to also do, cause I think I did this last time I was with you. My personal rating system, if this was back then with me now at age 31, it would have been opening night, you know, midnight screening, whatever they did back in the 90s when the movie came out. You know, it'd be like, you know, be the first person to see the screening of it, especially if they got to do the marketing campaign that they wanted to do, you know, that you hear about with reading trivia things and seeing, you know, watching bonus features on the DVD or the Blu-ray and stuff like that. But yeah, that's gonna do it for us here. And I want to, before we close, I want to preface all this. We ask the question now, or we say the statement, now you've seen it. We do not mean it in a mean way. We all understand that there are holes in our movie lexicon. There are plenty of holes in mine, as if you've listened to any of the other episodes that I've done, you will know. So we say this as a celebration of things. This is not a, oh, well, now you've seen it. It's now you've seen it. Yay. And the final thing for you guys to do besides remembering that is to subscribe, rate, and review. You can email us at oraclepodcast@gmail.com. Probably put in the subject line, you know, now you've seen it, or Greg is awesome. Give Greg a raise. Whatever you want to do. Bring back Steve.
Right.
You know, whatever you want to do. You can find us over at facebook.com. You know, if you're on the Facebooks, over at facebook.com/nowyouveseenit. You can check out this and other wonderful podcasts at oraclepodcast.com. Our theme is performed by Eric Hunt. And thank you for our broadcasting partners over at Age of Radio. You can find them at ageofradio.com. And my home, Galactic Netcasts. Elsner's is coming soon, I swear. Over at gncasts.com. And Steve, this is bittersweet because you know, it seems like I only met you yesterday, but this is your final voicing thing as a panelist.
As a panelist, yes. But if you listen to the very beginning of each episode and the very end of each episode, you might recognize the voice. Because I do the announcing of the thing at the beginning, and then at the end I do the thing. And I'm a voiceover guy, Steve, and that's what I do. And so then when you listen to it, you can listen to the very beginning of it, and then when I'm not a panelist or whatever, then you can just fast forward through the rest of it, and then just listen to the end of it, and then it's all good.
So basically, what he's saying is he's never going to come back on as a guest ever again.
No, any other time that you hear me on here, I will have already expended all the effort you're going to get out of me for this show. But it's been a lot of fun. And to your point about now you've seen it, we don't mean that in a weird, bad way. Hey, if I hadn't been doing this, I would not have seen Fight Club. I guarantee it, just because it would have been, with the way my world works right now, there would have not been a reason for me to take the time and the quote unquote effort to watch a movie Fight Club. So, you know, if you're listening to these episodes and you haven't seen The Jerk, or you haven't seen Avatar, or you haven't seen E.T., you know, use that as kind of an impetus to, you know, check them out and see what all the hubbub is about, bub.
Yeah, exactly. And Steve, give a final plug for where people could find you with the things that you are doing.
Oh, sure. Well, it's primarily the voiceover stuff. So you can find me on Facebook at The Voice of Steve. Also, thevoiceofstevevo.com is my website there. And you can email me at steve@thevoiceofstevevo.com.
Awesome. And you can find myself, like I did the clever Mick Foley cheap plug, bang, bang. You can find my other podcast over at Galactic Netcast. The Elsiners over there, but you can find me with all of my shenanigans when I post. It's typically at that Gregor on everything. I think Facebook, it's my old one of Gregor 1942. Either way, one of those two, you can find me basically wherever. And the final thing to have be said is bye. And then Steve's thing that he says afterwards, of course, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, you meant the other thing.
Yes. Yes, the professional thing that you do.
Now You've Seen It is a production of Oracle Media Productions in association with Age of Radio and Galactic Netcasts. For more great podcasts, visit oraclepodcasts.com, ageofradio.org, and gncasts.com.